The Vampire Kitty Cat Chronicles, Chapter 22. Church Isn't What It Used to Be. One word stuck in my mind. Vermin. That sleaze, that leech on the butt of humanity, called me vermin? I charged out from under the car, hoping to find a door or window open. One good leap and the prophet, with his new, never-healing undead skin, would have something to remember every day he smiled into a mirror. But no luck. You'd think I was a black cat. Inside the car, Meg's mom spotted me and struggled to reach the door, but Al cuffed her back into the seat. Not very Christian behavior, to my mind. I ran toward the front of the car, thinking maybe I could hitch a ride on the bumper and tag along. I didn't know what I'd do. Cats aren't much for planning ahead, preferring to focus on the nice parts of any given moment. But I wanted to help Meg if I could, not to mention find a way to wipe the smile off the prophet's face. The limousine took off and left me behind. Curses, foiled again. When I headed for the curb, wondering where my next blood meal was going to come from, headlights turned on down the block and tires squealed. A van hurtled my way. I leaped for safety, but I was in no danger. The van steered wide, and then tires screeched when it slammed to a halt beside me. It was the KTBC news van. The door opened, and the pointy features of Ginger Grant, ace reporter, looked down at me. In the driver's seat, Ernie, the cameraman, leaned to look out at me. A blue bandana held back his long hair, and a smile peeked out of his beard. He gave me a little wave. Grant's voice was sharp with scorn. "So why did the God Squad leave you behind? Not worthy of their brand of salvation? Vampire fleas?" I stuck out my tongue and considered plopping down and giving my nether regions a lick to indicate my feelings. Ernie said, "Hey, Patch, want a ride?" Grant scowled. "That creature? In here?" Eyebrows rising, Ernie said, "He's a part of the story, isn't he?" "We're trailing the Prophet and his squad. They grabbed Meg Murrow and that woman and leave Patch here." He reached down and pulled up a small video camera. Putting his eye to the viewfinder, he focused on me and said, "If I was a reporter, I don't think I'd leave a famous part of the biggest story of the century sitting here." Grant squinted at me, and I could almost see the whir of thoughts. Then her features softened. She held out her hand and said, "Here, kitty, kitty, kitty." The corners of her mouth turned down as if the words tasted bad. But "here, kitty" is hard to resist. And I did want another shot at Pat Bobson. So I hopped into the van and curled up on Ernie's lap. He put the camera on the floor between the seats, gave me a scratch behind the ears, and hit the gas. Minutes later, we eased to a stop in front of the Righteous Christian Church. When Ginger Grant opened her door, I could see that the doors to the church were open. I leaped from lap to lap and out, heading for the church. A hymn came from inside, each line punctuated by the chorus of breaths the V's needed to take to fill their lungs. "This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus." "This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus." "O precious is the flow that makes me white as snow." "No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus." They sure seem to be a bloody-minded people. God only knew what they would do with their new wacky notion of vampire heaven on earth. I wondered how Bobson's flock did their feeding. Behind me, Grant said, "You're leaving the lights?" Ernie said, "You know what it does to those people. That writhing and screaming gives me the creeps." He was right about that. TV lights hurt like hell. She said, "It could be too dark inside. We need to be prepared." Ernie muttered, "Fine," and brought his camera and a cart that held a rack of three lights hooked up to a battery. The inside of the church resembled a cavern with pews. It was about a third full, with everyone up front, standing as they sang. In the chancel in front of the congregation, the Reverend Prophet Pat Bobson, dressed in his bloody white suit, stood behind a waist-high table. On it, Meg's mom struggled against straps that bound her to it. A white gag covered her mouth. Lined up on the side of the chancel stood a half-dozen white-robed V's, including Al, the guy who'd led the God Squad. They sang and clapped along with the rest of the congregation. Beside the table, Meg pulled and wrenched at the grip of Goon One, but her 5 feet of determination was no match for his 6 feet of sanctimony and muscle. The singing ended, and the worshippers sat in their pews. I padded down the aisle, swiveling my ears back to make sure Grant and Ernie were behind me. I heard their footsteps in a whirr, the sound of Ernie's camera in action. Bobson raised his hands high and his voice soared, echoing from the high ceiling. "Brethren of the Holy Blood, we are gathered to redeem another lost soul." Meg's mom produced a muffled, "No." Bobson placed a hand over her face, further muffling her voice. He gazed down at her and smiled.
"I know, my dear. It's difficult to wait."
He licked his lips.
"Oh, how I know. But we must take the time to dedicate this holy moment to our Lord and his gift of heaven on earth."
He bowed his head. Behind me, Grant whispered, "This is Ginger Grant, KTBC News, bringing you exclusive footage of the savage rites of the new vampire church headed by murder suspect Pat Bobson." I glanced back. She sat at the end of a pew, leaning into the aisle, holding her microphone close to her lips with one hand shielding it. I had to admit she was good, even quieter than a commentator at a golf match. None of the V's noticed. Ernie stood in the aisle beside her, camera on shoulder, taping the scene. On the cart beside him was the rack of lights with a hand grip. Meg shouted, "No, this is evil!" I whipped my gaze back to the front. Bobson raised his head.
"Evil? Impossible! I've heard the voice of the Lord, and he has blessed me and given me guidance in my mission."
Some people who said things like that were locked up and given medication, so why was this nut running around loose? I shook my head. Unlike cats, people weren't entirely rational much of the time. You had to wonder how they'd ever gotten so far. Probably the opposable thumbs. Bobson said, "Now is the time to welcome our new sister into the fold." He leaned down, opening his mouth wide, his pitiful canine teeth white against the pink of his mouth. Meg screamed. Bobson put a hand on Mom's forehead to stop her head from thrashing from side to side. He licked her throat. Behind me, Grant whispered, "This is the first ever actual look at a vampire feeding, brought to you only by KTBC News. Disgusting, but compelling." Ernie said, "We ought to do something." "You're already doing it. Keep taping."
"But they're going to kill that woman."
"We're journalists. We watch. We report. That's our ethic." It seemed a little oxymoronic for a television reporter who had tried to frame me for dog murder to use the word ethic, especially as she watched a fellow human being about to be snacked upon. I glanced back. Grant licked her lips and stared ahead. She reminded me of a great mouser I once knew, stalking her prey. Ernie glanced down at the lights at his feet, but then went back to his viewfinder and continued taping the altar action. Meg screamed, "Mom!" She wrenched free and threw herself onto Bobson's back. He fell forward onto Mom. The congregation booed. Someone cried, "Blasphemy!" Goon number one grabbed Meg by the arms and ripped her away. He lifted her in the air, slammed her feet to the ground, and then wrapped his arms around her to hold her tightly against him. Bobson stood, straightened his suit coat, raised his arms to the congregation, and smiled. The people silenced. He said, "My blood brothers and sisters, you have witnessed the violence of the unsaved undead." He indicated Meg. "If only she had been converted by my holy bite." Meg shouted, "You're not..." Goon One slapped a big hand over the lower half of her face. It was a good thing she had no need to breathe. Bobson crooned, "Just as the Lord has granted me the power to bestow eternal life, he has given the power to take it away." He extended an arm toward the side of the altar where Al, captain of the God Squad, and 5 henchmen stood, Goon Two among them. Bobson snapped his fingers and Al hustled to him, his blood-stained white robe billowing behind him. Al pulled a sharp wooden stake from under his robe, bowed his head, and placed it in the prophet's hand. Then he pulled a mallet out and stood at attention, holding it ready. While I didn't think the stake could actually kill Meg outright,
We these do need our hearts to pump every now and then to get blood to the rest of our bodies. If Bobson put a hole in her heart, I had a hunch that the terrible pain of bloodlust would end in, well, the end. I paced back to Ernie and looked up at him. He kept on taping. I stood on my hind legs and put my paws against his leg. He looked down, but then Grant leaned out from her pew and batted me away. At the front of the church, Bobson raised the stake high in the air. "Blessed be this holy instrument of the Lord," he gazed to the congregation. "I ask you, brothers and sisters, shall we give this unrepentant sinner release from her profane, pitiful existence and grant her the solace of the Lord's embrace?" As one voice, the congregation shouted, "Yes!" How generous, as long as the stake wasn't intended for them. Behind me, Ernie said, "My God, they're going to murder Meg. Keep taping or you'll never work in this town again. Besides, she's not exactly alive." The prophet nodded to Al, who nodded to Goon One, who nodded, picked Meg up, and moved her closer to Bobson. Al handed the mallet to the preacher, took one of her arms, and stretched it out from her body. Goon One did the same with the other arm, and they held her prisoner, each pulling on an arm. Meg said, "This isn't a Christian thing to do." Bobson smiled. "I've moved beyond Christianity. I am reborn with the wisdom of God as his second son. Welcome to the new salvation of Bobsianity." The congregation said, "Hallelujah!" He stepped in front of Meg, his back to the audience. He glanced over his shoulder, then moved to the side where we could see his face. Holding Meg taut, Al and Goon One sidled around to keep her facing Bobson. "Any last words, sinner?" Behind them, Mom struggled against her bonds, and a muffled "No!" escaped from her gag. Bobson placed the point of the stake on Meg's chest over her heart. Meg wrenched at her human bonds, but she was never going to break them. "Don't do this!" Bobson's smile was beatific, but his eyes were hard. "Oh, I'm sure you'll prefer this to the last method we tried." He shook his head. "Stoning a vampire just makes a mess, and we had to leave him outside for the sun to finish him off." The congregation said, "Amen." He raised the mallet. I launched myself down the aisle. Hurtling at Bobson full speed, I leaped for his arm and caught it just as he swung the mallet down. I dug my claws in and sank my fangs deep into Bobson's wrist. The mallet flew from his hand and hit Al in the eye. Al shrieked and grabbed his face, letting Meg go. Meg twisted and kicked Goon One square in the balls. I had seen this maneuver before and looked forward to him writhing on the floor, but he just looked down. Oh, yeah, no pain. A roar went up from the congregation and then shifted into a cacophony of cries for my blood, ripping me to pieces and other blessings. Even though I wasn't hurting Bobson, I hampered the hell out of him. He shouted, "Beast!" and shook his arm. Well, Beast was a promotion from Vermin, I guessed. Still, I wasn't letting go. Meg kicked Goon One in the balls again, and I had to wonder what he might feel the next time he fed and blood pumped through his body. When I'd made love to Queenie after we feasted, I'd sure felt a thing or two down there, and all over my body, for that matter. Fingers grabbed my skin at the back of my neck and pulled. Oh, no. My body relaxed into kitten carry mode, and I released all my grips, claws, and teeth. Whoever pulled me off held me high in the air. The hand swiveled me around. It was Goon Two. Al took his hands from his face and grabbed Meg's free arm. The eye the mallet had struck didn't track with the other one, but rolled around and seemed to be on its own. Al and Goon One quickly had Meg spread-eagled again. Bobson stared at the deep punctures my teeth had left in his arm, and then glared at me. If looks could kill, and if I wasn't already pretty much dead, I'd have been all dead right then and there. But his scowl eased into a beaming smile. He turned to the congregation and raised his hands in the air. His V-groupies responded with immediate silence. He said, "And so you see, the Lord delivers the infidels and pagans to us." The congregation said, "Amen." Bobson pointed to the floor. "Hold it there." Goon Two grabbed my dangling hind feet, knelt, and stretched me out on the floor. Bobson stepped close and placed one big foot on my head, pressing down until I could feel the pressure in my bones. His voice almost a hiss, he said to me, "Let's see how well you fare after I crush your skull and your brains come out your mouth." He pressed harder. The song is Dire Wolf, from Reckoning by the Grateful Dead. Please don't murder me. For more fun, visit VampireKittyCat.com.